in our modern culture. It just runs in the other direction. And I want to title the message this morning, Decrease. Decrease. We hear a lot about increase, but I want to talk to you and I about our Christian responsibility to decrease. And I want to begin by looking at John chapter 3, verse 26, the life of John the Baptist, who was the older cousin to Jesus Christ. I believe it was the second cousin. When John started his public ministry, there had been no prophetic utterance for 400 years. That's roughly 10 generations of families that had never heard the voice of a prophet speak in Israel. Total silence. And then the prophet John, he's raised up by God. And he begins to tell the people to repent. The kingdom of God is near. And people from everywhere, Judea, Jerusalem, they flock to John to repent, but also to be baptized. The crowds would swell larger and larger. So much so that even the king and the queen begin to wonder, who is this one that God has raised up? He had the attention of all of Jerusalem. And it's between 6 months to a year after that, Jesus begins to come into his public ministry. And when he starts slow in ministry. His disciples start baptizing people just as John's tremendous ministry had already been doing. And we find here in John chapter 3, verse 26, it says, and they, speaking of John's disciples, they came to John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, talking about Jesus, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same is baptizing, and all men come to him. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your goodness, your kindness. We thank you for your presence, and we thank you for the word of God, which is able to save our very souls. We'd ask you today, Lord, that you would anoint the people, that you would anoint their ears, that you'd help them to hear and receive it truly in their hearts concerning this that John will say. Father, I ask you for your presence upon my mind, upon my mouth, that I might make a certain sound here today. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And Father, we also pray that you would bless those who support the ministry here in the worship room, across the online experience, that you would touch those families, touch those individuals, pour it back upon them in such a way that they know that God Almighty has respect unto their support. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray it and we thank you. Amen and amen. So after John builds this tremendous ministry, he's known throughout the land. And then Jesus begins his public ministry. It was between 6 to 12 months after John had already built his ministry. And Jesus begins to baptize, and immediately the disciples notice it and say, hey, John, the guy that you were with beyond the Jordan, he's doing what you're doing now. And people are flocking to him, and he's decreasing your ministry. Everything that you've built, everything that you're enjoying now, Jesus is beginning to move into his office, and he's causing your ministry to become smaller. And John's response in verse 30 is this. He gave a longer response, but the nutshell is, he must increase and I must decrease. Now, he said that concerning his own ministry, but again, John's a prophet, and that word is laid in this Bible for you and I. He must increase. Must is a demand. It's an absolute. It's not an opinion. It's not a recommendation. If you are a blood-washed Christian today, Jesus must increase in your life, and you must decrease. Now, You can't even begin to decrease until he increases, because he's the one that takes over. You have to first get out off of the throne of your own heart to allow him to take that position. But then as you mature in Christ, the two operate in sync. They're synchronized. He is increasing, constantly increasing in your life as you are constantly decreasing. And at the point that we say, I've decreased enough, I'm not decreasing anymore, he stops increasing. He will never push you off the throne of your own heart. You have to willingly give it up. And I think many times we as Christians, we don't just come out and just say, I refuse to decrease anymore, Jesus, not having it. But what we do is we neglect to decrease. We don't pay attention to it. We just operate as we operated the day before, the week before. We just keep doing what we've always done, not realizing he wants to continually increase, but we must continually decrease. We have to pull ourselves down. Now, Jesus was stronger when he said it. Let me slow down. When I say decrease, what are we talking about? All of us have a personality. And all of us collectively, our personalities are jacked. We can make them seem very appealing, but in reality, we know that we got some rough edges. Now, many times we can operate and the rough edges don't really appear until we've been provoked. And when we're provoked, all of a sudden, all of our personality ugliness begins to show. That must decrease. I found in my own life that the easiest way to grow in decreasing is to stop talking, especially when you're provoked. Just stop talking. And it may seem like, well, you know, I'm being provoked, but I try to stay silent. It's not that I have nothing to say. I got a lot to say. You have a lot to say when you're provoked. But the discipline of Christ causes you to hold your peace when it burns within. That's what decreasing is. That means I will not allow self to be exalted over Jesus Christ. I will not allow self to show all of its ugliness. I'm going to decrease, and I'm going to just allow Jesus to control this situation. And if you've ever tried it, being quiet is one of the hardest things you can do when you're provoked. Because you, like I, we got a lot to say. We have an opinion. But John, this is exactly what John was talking about. You and I, that's how you decrease. Listen, if you don't decrease, you're not maturing. Maturation in Christ is decreasing in self. Both of us, me and Christ, can't sit on the throne of this heart. Somebody's got to rule and reign. Somebody's got to be the commander in chief. And that makes the other one, that makes me simply a bondslave for my king. Now, it sounds good when we sing that in songs, or if we say that, you know, as a personal confession, it sounds really good, but it comes down to those moments when we don't want to decrease, but we know that's what we have to do. Jesus said it this way. He said, if any man, any woman is going to come after me, let him first, before anything else, no confessions, no testimonies, nothing. Let him first deny himself. That's a synonym to decrease. And self-denial is not, none of us like it. But you know what John said, and really this is the Holy Spirit through John, he said he must increase, you and I, we must decrease. Notice that word must. God demands that we decrease. He demands that we deny himself. Jesus said, if a man won't deny himself, he cannot be my disciple. That means it's something that we can't neglect and just say, you know, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. We have to be aware of it, that this is my opportunity. I'm being provoked. This is my opportunity to make some spiritual ground. I'm going to, at the very least, I'm going to hold my peace. At the very least, and I'm not going to speak with the gesture on my face either. I can remember, you know, my wife and I, we're opposites. We're complete opposites. And of course, we don't argue anymore. We disagree. We don't see things the same, but we never have a disagreement. And I can remember times in years past, man, I'm so hot. I mean, I'm hot. And trying not to say anything, so you're slamming stuff around in the sink all hard because it's just coming out of you. That's the moment right there that you can decrease. And God will help you if you will simply in that moment realize, God, see, my problem is not my wife. She's not my problem. I'm my problem. And it's not a, well, I was right, she was wrong. No. It's my problem. Jesus was right when he hung on the cross and died while men was wrong, but he still acted Christ-like. And that's our example, that we're able to allow the discipline of Christianity to overtake our lives in the moment that we're being provoked. And if we do that, we'll find Jesus standing up a lot more. We'll find his presence, especially in those times, being much more a majority of our response than if we don't have a mind to decrease. See, this is why there's hell in our houses. As Christians, spouses, there should not be hell in our houses. We shouldn't be walking around and one spouse not talking to the other spouse because I'm mad at you. No, that's baby stuff. As Christians, as we mature, even though me and my wife might not agree with something, she has a right to her opinion. It's not a matter of is it right or is it wrong. She's a separate individual created in God's likeness, just like I am. And she has a right to her opinion. I have a right to my opinion. And so we don't have to argue over that. But many times we feel we have to talk about it. And so I have to prove how wrong you are and how right I am. Well, I don't want to talk about it now. No, we're going to talk about it now. And we cause hell to be in our houses rather than just decreasing. That's where it is right there, where as a personality, we decrease. Getting my way is not, and the things we argue about, a year later, you won't even remember the argument. But right now, it seems like if I don't get my way, the world's going to end. And tear up our relationship, hurt each other's feelings, simply because we won't just simply decrease. Here's what I found as I've, in the process of maturing in Christ, I'd never have to fix it. All I have to do is tell my Father, and the situation will fix itself. And sometimes it's me, I change my mind. Sometimes it's her, she changes her mind. But I don't have to do it. And be honest with you, I can't do it. All I can do is hurt her. All she can do is hurt me. Rather than just let your spouse be who they are. You didn't marry them to be like you. And just consider that thought. What if they was just more like me? But you're jacked up. Why? Let them be who they are. They may be ahead of you. You never know. There's many times my wife is right and I'm wrong. I just don't know it. But as time passes and I just stay quiet, don't provoke it. Just let the thing play out. I realize, she was right about that. And you know what? Be gracious enough. When they're right, tell them they're right. Because when you thought they were wrong, you tell them they were wrong. So when they're right, tell them that they're right. That's how you build. I'm a little off my message this morning. We must decrease. We have to deny ourselves. We have to denigrate our feelings, our wants, our desires. Paul will say this in the book of Philippians. He said, let this mind be in you. And he's going to define what that mindset is. Let this mindset be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's saying you should think like Jesus Christ and approach difficulties with the mindset that Jesus Christ has. Now, of course, we can't be Jesus, but he is our, he's the template. We mimic who he is. And he goes on in verse 8 of that same passage, and I'm just going to read it a little bit out of order so it makes more sense. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself. And isn't that what it's all about? Self-denial is about humbling ourselves. It's about, you know, there's a devil called I. There's a trinity called me, myself, and I. But it is the devil. And many times we bring, well, Satan did this. Sometimes that's not Satan. Sometimes that's self. And he can be a troublemaker. In all of us have the same problem. The sin nature that abides within provokes us operating through our flesh and through our carnality, and we operate in carnality, and all we do is hurt everybody around us rather than walking in the Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to govern us. You know, one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. That means you don't have to fix it right now. You're just arguing. Just wait a little while. Be patient. The Holy Spirit sometimes will fix things, and you don't have to do nothing. And you know what? If you could not talk now and cause the thing to blow up, go to your prayer closet and tell God on your spouse. Instead of talking to your spouse, go tell God. God, here's what happened. And many times God will tell you that's because you did this and you should have done that. And you can come out with crocodile tears running down and go tell your spouse, I'm sorry, that was all me. That was all me and not you at all. That's the only way you'll have longevity. But if you don't decrease, it's not just your marital relationships, your relationships with other people, coworkers, family, siblings. You, all of your relationships will be better if you, as a personality, simply decrease. Now, one of the problems is we're in love with ourselves. You know, it started a few years ago. You know how sisters can pop their neck? You know, do that round neck thing? That's a whole attitude. It's a whole attitude. And it's really, we see visually what's going on the inside. And I'm not just beating up the sister girls. Brothers just ain't got, we don't have nothing like that, but we're just as goofy. And so all of that we have to pull down. All of that we have to decrease and let this mind be in you that was in Christ, who humbled himself. One of the most humbling things that you'll ever have to do, and you should do this, it is, I think, maybe more difficult for men just because, you know, we're macho and all that, and physically stronger than our wives. They have to go to your wife and say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I had to do that so often years ago as God was teaching me. I'd have to go to her. And, you know, you're crying. And when I cry, I become very emotional. You know. Big crocodile tears, and you can't hardly talk because your emotion is flooding. But you have to do it. You have to say, I'm sorry. That was all me. Will you forgive me? I'm sorry. And that causes you to not want to ever have to do that again. So now you have motivation in the time that you're being provoked to decrease, to humble yourself. My prayer for many years, and really still is, God, I don't want to just be humble before people. Humble me in my own heart. Humble me so my image of myself is less than what it is. That way you never have to put on humility. You're expressing what Christ has developed on the inside. Now we have, this is not something that's optional. We must decrease. We must deny ourselves and take up the cross, which is even more self-crucifixion. We have to die in terms of who we are, how we rolled prior to, you know, before we got saved, we did whatever we wanted to, said whatever we wanted to, and acted any way we wanted to. And as we move through sanctification, all those things, one by one, they have to die. This is going to sound hard. I don't mean it to be hard. I don't know. There's about 7 billion people on the planet now, roughly. Nobody cares what you think. No, nobody cares what I think. It's only me. And so I have to bring that into perspective that just because I think it's so very important doesn't mean everybody else does. But it's our attempt, it's the attempt of the sin nature to cause self to sit on the throne of my being and have no regard for what God wants, what Jesus wants, what the Holy Spirit is doing. I sit there stubbornly and then glory in the fact that I gave them a piece of my mind. Man, I told them something. And we glory in our shame. That's the exact thing the Holy Spirit is trying to get out of us. Paul writes this in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. And before I read it, let me say this. As Christians, when we come into Christianity, you know, all of us, I mean, you came out of either alcohol, drugs, sexual perversions. We all came out of something. And many of us can check almost all the boxes of what we came out of. But when we come into Christianity, sometimes these clinging vines of what we used to be will still try to hold on to us as we're moving towards Christ's likeness. And so when we come out, all of us, you know, we smoked dope, drank liquor, sexual perversions, whatever. And so then when we read the Bible, we look back to those big sins and say, oh, man, I'm glad I'm not doing that anymore. And I am, too, glad we're not doing that anymore. But that don't make us sanctified. Because I don't smoke dope doesn't make me holy. Because I don't run women, that don't make me holy. I need to not do those things. But there's a much further that we have to go. Here's what he says in Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19. He's going to do a comparison of the works of the flesh to the fruit of the Spirit. And before I read it, it is the works, the self-effort of the flesh being compared to the fruit, the spiritual effort of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit. That's the comparison. He says in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. You know, we look at those and we go, you know, those things are not happening. I gave those up a long time ago. Now, if you're a young Christian, you could possibly still be struggling with that, but the Holy Spirit will clean you up. But if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, you go, well, I'm not doing those things. But I think we have to look more closely at it. Let's look, for example, at idolatry. Idolatry in the Old Testament, they would go out into the woods and they'd cut down a tree and they'd bring it back and they'd shape it and they'd carve a face into it and they tie it up to something so it don't fall over. And they take some of it and create the fire for dinner. And then the part that they shaped into a figurine, they fall down and worship it. It's called idolatry. Well, we don't do that in modern days. At least most people don't do that. But we still commit idolatry in that we worship a God who we've manufactured in our own mind. It's not who he is. I'll give you a good example of it. Most people in America today think that God is love, period. Now, God is love, but God is also wrath. God is mercy, but he's also judgment. And when we see him, it's almost like going to the carnival and looking into that distorted mirror that distorts everything. As some of us see God through a distorted mirror, that's idolatry. We have to see him as he really is. And as maturing Christians, some of the characteristics of God, I'm not aligned with. And I have to realize I can't pervert him into a shape that aligns with what I am. I have to change myself to align to what he truly is. Does that make sense? Lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. That word witchcraft is pharma in the Greek. It's where we get our modern word pharmaceuticals. It has to do with drug use. And just because you have a prescription for that drug, it's not meant to be used for recreation. Amen. You know, a lot of people that get hooked on fentanyl started with pharmaceutical painkillers. Okay, it can become a problem. Hatred, variance, emulation, wrath. Here it is, strife. Strife. That means hell in your house. It means quarrels, rivalries. It means not decreasing in the moments that we should decrease, and it turns into a quarrel. Isn't it funny how we could be married for years and we still quarrel? If that's your case. The very person you said, I love you so much, I will be with you till death do us part, for better or for worse, richer or for poorer. And then we arguing over money. It's quiet. But these are real things that we deal with. And what happens is we neglected to decrease and it turns into strife. It is a work of the flesh. Seditions. Seditions is a little worse than strife because it causes factions, divisions. It causes rebellions. So when strife is unchecked, it goes on and on and on. Pretty soon, it causes a division in that relationship. Until you sleep in that room, I'm sleeping this room over here. And the next thing you know, well, I talked to the lawyer today. We're getting ready to get a divorce. And it all comes to the person that you said, I love you till death do us part. And it all comes because we won't decrease. Listen, whatever you're going through, whatever trouble you're having, God will walk through that thing with you if you would just wait on God. If you'll just wait on him, bug him every single day. This is a situation. I don't know how to navigate it. Help me make it through this situation. Change her, change me, change whatever you got to change, but bring some peace in this house. That's God's will for every marriage. That's God's will really for every relationship. If you got a coworker and you're always in strife with them, that's not the will of God. And if that coworker is not saved, it's not on them. It's on the Christian to let this mind be in them that was in Christ Jesus. Find a way, but you will not find that way if you're not willing to just humble yourself and to decrease it within your own heart. I've got to rush here. Heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. He added such like in case he missed your thing falls under such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That means that God's domain stops growing in your life. Remember, the kingdom of God is within. It's Jesus' rule over this temple. And when we don't decrease, his rule over this temple is hindered, is hampered. And we stay in a lack of maturity in our Christian walk. But then he goes on to say, but contrawise, the fruit of the Spirit is not something you have to do. You simply cooperate with the Holy Spirit, be willing to humble yourself and decrease, and the Holy Spirit begins to produce these fruit in your life. It's not a work of the flesh. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And the first one, the very first one he has here is the fruit of the Spirit is love, agape. It's that you begin to, you know, when Jesus came, the whole planet was contrary to Jesus. The whole planet didn't like him. He had a few disciples that walked with him, but as soon as he said something, Peter was rebuking him. Soon as he got arrested, all of them left him. They wasn't all that much in love with him. They was looking for to be part of the new kingdom that took over Jerusalem. And so don't think that everything is going to be consistent with your desires. There's going to be some time we go through some choppy waters. But if you'll hold his hand, he can say, peace be still in the middle of your storm. But if you and I are saying, well, or not even saying, but if our attitude is such that I'm going to fix this, I'm going to move through, Jesus will step back and go ahead on then. If you're going to fix it, he'll let you fix it to see how bad you tear it up and have to come back to him and say, Lord, I tore it up and I need help. And then he'll step in and he'll help you. This is good preaching. I'll finish with this last verse. I'm just going to read it. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. That means he decreased. He denied himself. He died daily. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm alive. Yet not I, but now Christ is alive in me. Personality is gone. Ego is gone. Now Christ is the life that I now live in the flesh. I'm living it by my faith in the Son of God. And even when I'm provoked, Christ's likeness is still coming forth. It's easy to come to church on Sunday and look holy to each other. Ah, but that one you live with, they see the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your ways. God, I just ask you right now that you would move by your Holy Spirit upon every heart, upon every life. Bring the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to those areas of life that we neglect to decrease. We neglect to deny ourselves. Where we don't pull ourselves down, but opposite, we exalt ourselves and we show ourselves strong. Help us to understand you're not looking for strong people. You're looking for a weak people, because your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Father, we just come to you today. Come on, all over the room. Would you stand to your feet? Wherever you're at in your walk, just reach up and begin to ask God, Lord, help me today to humble myself. Lord, not humbling myself before the pastor or even before my spouse, but help me to humble myself within my own heart. So my self-reflection aligns with the way that you see me. Help me to become nothing in my own eyes. Come on, just reach out to the Lord and ask him. He'll help you if you'll ask for it. Just reach out.
Father, we all struggle with things, Lord God. We all have personalities and characteristics about ourselves, Lord, that we desire to continually come to you and give to you, because we want to see you grow in us, Father. We want to decrease, Father, so that we see you increase. Father, we desire the fruit of the Spirit. We desire your guidance. We desire your correction, Father. You are the potter. We are the clay. Mold us, Lord God, into your Son, into the image of your Son, Father. Help us to be careful to give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor as we see you work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful message, encouragement, reminder of how we need to continue to allow Christ to develop in us. We all know it's not easy to decrease. There's nothing unfamiliar to any one of us in here. Sometimes it's hard, but it's necessary. Amen. Remember, if you haven't had a chance to give, we do need your support, and we thank you for your support. Those that have joined us on webcast, we thank you so much for joining us. We hope to see you in the 11 o'clock service. And one last announcement. Movie night is coming up on May 29th at 7 p.m. The title of the movie is Forgiveness Girl. So if you have a moment at 7 p.m. until that movie is done, please come out and let's watch it all together in fellowship. Amen. Since we're all standing, be blessed, greet one another, and there's refreshments out there in the lobby. You're dismissed.